Hello, it's Friday the 9th of July, and I'm delighted today to be joined on Coffee House Shots by two special guests, Ben Page of Ipsos Mori, and Frances Elliott, Director of Advocacy at Engage Britain, and a journalist for The Eye and The Times, and the biographer of David Cameron. Now, Ben, you've done some astonishing polling suggesting that a large chunk of the public would quite like some of these lockdown restrictions to go on regardless of COVID-19. Can you talk us through this?
Sure. So what we've done is asked people what they want extended for a month after the potential unlocking on July the 19th, what they want kept until COVID is finally under control globally, and then slightly cheekily, what they thought might be needed permanently, regardless of the risk from COVID-19. And what it shows, of course, is that there's a substantial minority of people who think that masks should be retained, as they are in some Asian countries, virtually all the time, in shops and on public transport. And perhaps most strikingly, one in five people saying that they favour having a curfew against leaving home after 10 o'clock at night without a good reason. I think, as the person who's done this poll, I think the first thing that's important to remember is that in terms of the extent, what people want extended for a month after July the 19th just reflects the fact that in terms of masks on public transport, for example, that's entirely consistent with other polling. And I think it's a reflection of the fact that by some margin throughout the pandemic, the public have been more cautious than the government, and generally by a margin of about 3-1, they've tended to believe that government measures introduced, all of the restrictions have been not strict enough rather than too strict. Now, we can talk about personal hypocrisy sometimes on that, but I think that's the first context that we're asking these questions when the Delta variant is surging, and so people are pretty cautious and have remained so throughout the pandemic, regardless of the actual daily levels of infections or indeed deaths, actually. Overall concern about the pandemic, even though deaths are now much, much lower than they were in January, hasn't fallen that much. It's actually gone up this month. But then you come to this sort of very striking one in five saying they want a curfew against leaving home after 10. And of course, even the young, in fact, are less likely to be opposed to this than older people. I take it with a slight pinch of salt, in the sense that, you know, the government isn't currently proposing a sort of policing the streets and arresting anybody who was found out there. But I think it just shows this sort of overall caution, or if you like, excess of caution. And therefore, people will sort of suggest that they are, you know, they're quite fond of these things. They aren't necessarily thinking it's actually going to happen. But it does show that people are prepared to have quite restrictive measures on their daily activities to cope with the virus. And also, of course, in a way, the public has surprised all the experts during the pandemic, particularly early on in the pandemic, when people said they just wouldn't wear, a lockdown at all. That was sort of, circulating in March, April last year. And the evidence has been actually that they will, if they believe it's necessary to control a dangerous respiratory disease.
And Ben, just one other question on this polling. If you had done this polling 2 years ago, pre-COVID-19, how many people do you think then roughly would have favoured a 10 p.m. curfew?
I mean, I think it's a slightly hypothetical question, James, but it's a perfectly fair one. And I think you would certainly get 10, 5 to 10% of people probably supporting all of those, quite frankly. And there is a sort of population out there who favour quite restrictive measures on all sorts of aspects of daily life, if it means order is there and is imposed.
Frances, very few people have as much experience as a political journalist as you do. When you look at these numbers, do you think that Boris Johnson is taking a risk in terms of the level of unlocking that he is going for on July the 19th? Or do these numbers suggest to you that people will kind of carry on wearing masks on public transport and the like, even if it's not compulsory?
So I think we've been here before, and as yet, Ben and you can contradict me, I don't think Johnson has paid much of a price for decisions that were not in line with the polling. If you'd polled, Christmas was never particularly popular, unlocking that, and I don't know, I think by common consent it was a mistake. For whatever reason, this isn't feeding directly into the kind of his numbers. I'm interested that Labour are very nervous about riding this too hard. They are pro-unlock. I just wonder whether there isn't something going back to what Ben was saying about the element of personal hypocrisy. I think it's it's not irrational to fear other people and therefore want constraints on them while personally thinking that you'll be fine and you know what you're doing. And I think that's what's happening here. I think people are like government itself is torn between wanting to control the bad behaviours of other people, but wanting to preserve for themselves, you know, a kind of virtue, and they say, well, of course, you know, we'll be all right.
And Ben, I think one of the shifts because of the surge in the Delta variant, I mean, the government felt that it couldn't kind of reverse its position on removing the compulsion to wear masks. But I think while as beforehand, we would have expected lots of pictures of cabinet ministers wandering around maskless, enjoying newfound freedoms. I suspect that on July the 19th, there'll be lots of pictures of ministers kind of consciously, very, you know, ostentatiously putting on their masks before they go into crowded places. How much do you think the public are taking their cues from what is in the precise, you know, regulations and legislation? And how much are they making their own judgments?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. But I think people like clarity. They like clarity about rules at work. And of course, if we look back at the history of the pandemic, you know, stay home, protect the NHS, save lives was the most effective slogan, because, of course, it was sort of very, very simple to understand and very direct. When it came onto sort of, you know, space, face, whatever it was, it's a bit sort of, you know, then we saw people regarding it as more difficult. So I think there will be plenty of people who will continue wearing masks on public transport and in places like the tubes. And of course, overall compliance will go down. But people do like clarity. And one of the problems with risk is particularly unknown risks, and an invisible disease is one of those unknown risks. They really don't like being, in a sense, being made to make decisions themselves. In a sense, they want that expert guidance and advice, and they'd like it to be simple and direct for everybody. It may be that life isn't like that, but I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, we've seen this with vaccines and the MMR sort of reaction and fighting over the MMR and arguing about MMR when that was being rolled out, because, you know, ministers are sort of saying, well, it's 99.99999% safe, and of course they're not very good at probabilities. Even neither are politicians, interestingly. They're like the rest of us, and therefore they don't like being asked to take risks that they find difficult to quantify themselves. And so I think you will see that excess of caution continuing for a substantial proportion of the population. And I think ministers probably wearing masks if they go to football matches or when they're in a crowd would probably be regarded by most people as sensible. And certainly that's what this data suggests.
Francis, what I thought was very interesting this morning, Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, was opening the door to him using the fact that, you know, the rail franchises are now essentially in government ownership to impose mask wearing during rush hour, you know, peak times on the trains. Do you think that is something the government will end up doing? I think there's definitely growing nervousness about July the 19th.
Yes, I do think that they will end up there. I can see quite a lot of societal conflict about masks in the future, actually. I think I'm a bit, you know,
a kind of culture warsy.
There's another reason for what people wanting clarity, which is you want to know what the rules are. And if, you know, I can foresee where if you're on a bus, I mean, I was on a train the other day, and there's a young lad came on and he wasn't wearing a mask, and I was seething. He sat opposite me on the thing, and I was wondering, why am I so angry about this? And it was, you know, it was just that kind of feeling of I'm doing something for you and you're not doing something for me, and the lack of reciprocity. And if it's just ungoverned space, then I can see that being actually just being introduced just to stop the conflict.
Well, to stop people having stand-up rows about it, just make it compulsory at this time, not compulsory at that time.
And basically the government, given that it's been able to do U-turns on all sorts of subjects throughout its recent history, and given that everybody knows that it's, you know, there are lots of difficult choices to make, etc., as Francis says, it doesn't appear that any of this is particularly going to make them suffer politically. I think what would or could would be really persevering with opening up in a way that is, you know, even Israel has now gone backwards slightly because of the Delta variant, as the NHS gets very, very overcrowded. And so actually they have some leeway, quite frankly, they have a fair amount of leeway on this to not necessarily appease, you know, the right wing of the Conservative Party on some of this, to be honest. That's what the data seems to suggest very, very clearly.
And Francis, what's your sense of, you look at COVID, there was a kind of national unifying force in the first lockdown. But do you think we're going to come out of this and this is going to descend into a kind of increasingly scrappy conflict with some people, you know, refusing to wear a mask even when their train carriage is absolutely full, other people insisting on wearing masks even when there's only two people in the entire carriage and the windows are open and there's plenty of space? Do you think this is going to become a kind of an identity issue?
That's a really interesting question, but I think I've read somewhere, and Ben can confirm, that you can hunt in vain in the cross breaks of these polls to see that there's any shape to them. I mean, it certainly doesn't map onto any Brexit.
No, it's not. No, it's interesting. It does. This one doesn't. I mean, I think there's a, you know, you see it in America much more, where strong Republican Trump supporting areas have much lower levels of vaccine uptake, etc. But here, it seems that sort of left-right split over some of these measures doesn't seem to be anywhere near as apparent. I mean, it cuts across party politics. So no, but I think that, but there are divisions, and that's why people the majority of the population would like clarity. But I don't think, unless you saw, you know, politicians really going, right, well, we're all anti-mask, we're, none of us are ever going to wear a mask again, and the other lot are all masked up or something. But I don't see, I hopefully, in the same way that culture wars really only involve, you know, a minority of the population on both sides, I suspect that it may be, you know, the people who feel really strongly about this either way will also be on, you know, in a minority on both sides. And a lot of people will be sort of pragmatic, but they will be pragmatic and cautious.
That's right. And I mean, you know, if deaths continue to be low and hospitalizations are manageable, this will just tail off in time. You know, there's obviously going to be a long lag effect. I don't think this is a sort of massive national trauma which will sustain for, you know, for years. I may be wrong about that. I don't think that we're going to become kind of East Asian compulsive mask wearers, but I do think in the transition, the kind of desire for rules and clarity, you know, will have political resonance, and that the government will, they'll pay a kind of short-term price for failing in their duty to stop unnecessary conflict.
Francis, Ben, thank you both so much. That was absolutely fascinating. And thank you very much for listening.